I'm speaking with Joanne Devlin of Black Diamond Paving. She is a speaker at the National Pavement Expo. She is also on the advisory board for the National Pavement Expo. And she will talk to us about structuring your business to assure long-term success. So, Joanne, tell us about what the sweeping contractors out there would like to know about your seminar here at the show.
Sure. Basically, what we talked about is one of the factors is limiting liability. So doing that by setting up a corporation, whether it be a LLC, a C-Corp, or an S-Corp, and if you haven't already done that, and if you're just a sole proprietor doing business, you want to make sure you set up a corporation to protect yourself from liability. There's different tax ramifications between the three, and we talked about that. Typically, I have resources such as my CPA and my attorney to go over tax liability and liabilities, and we definitely talked about having a combination of resources such as that.
So there are two factors really that you're considering. One is a better tax bracket so that you can bring home more of the money you're making, and then the other side of that would be the liability that your business faces so you don't lose your house in case something happens, or to separate your business entity from your personal finances.
Exactly. So if you have a corporation set up, you are protected under that corporation from liability if you have an accident. If you don't have a corporation set up, you really have no protection at all. And it really opens yourself up to liability. If one thing happens, one accident happens, and you get sued, they really are suing you as an individual, versus if you have a corporation set up, they're suing the corporation. And you can be umbrellaed under that corporation and have some protection with the corporate veil.
Right. Okay. So that's certainly one area that somebody needs to look into. What are other types of things to consider?
Well, we talked about one of the big topics was employees and how to hire the right employees and how to differentiate between the wrong employees and the right employees. We talked about recruiting.
So let's talk a little bit about employees. I know that's one of the calls that I get lots of is that it's very difficult to find good employees that will stay and so forth, will do a good job for you. What are your tips on that?
Exactly. Well, what has worked for me and my company is referrals, employee referrals. So, and I guess ahead of that is treating our employees right is like a marketing tool towards getting other employees. So paying good benefits, treating your employees like you would treat a customer, treating them well so that they can go out to their network of people and more or less sell you to their friends to come and work for them. So it's almost like a peer thing. As the industries, sweeping and pavement maintenance, they're all very close-knit and tight, and a lot of people know each other. And employees can actually be your best sales tool to getting other employees if you treat them well.
Do you pay a referral fee to employees that come in with somebody new?
We have. We started a program where we pay anywhere from $50 to $100 per employee if they stay 90 days. So that's a great incentive program, one of the best. One of the biggest incentive programs, though, is just to help your friends gain employment at a good employers. And if you're one of the top employers and you treat your people better than your other competition, that's going to be your biggest sales tool to getting good employees.
One factor that I'll put in on my side of things from talking to contractors, and I think we have this maybe in our tips area, was people who say, well, I get employees and we have drug testing, and I wish they would tell me that they won't pass a drug test, but what they assure me they can pass a drug test, excuse me, it cost me $35 to administer a drug test. I administer it. They knew they were going to that they wouldn't pass. So what they suggested was to have any prospective employee, once you get to the final stage of hiring and all that's left is the drug test, they require that they put two $20 bills into an envelope, and if they pass the drug test, they get the $40 back. If their drug test fails, they don't. And the people who wouldn't pass the drug test and know it at that point thank them very much and walk out the door.
Aww.
What's another area that we might talk about is what you've touched on also includes how long you can keep your people because you're treating them well and so forth. Are there other motivating factors, or what else should we talk about here?
Well, we offered a bonus incentive program, too, on profitability that was structured. We basically had a pool of profit at the end of the year that was dispersed to the crew based on our profit, so it was like a profit sharing. But they would get half of the profit every month, but then the rest was put into a pool and given to them at the end of the year for a Christmas bonus. And this eliminated, it was incentive to stay to the end of the year, and it also incentivized them in terms of profitability, but it also eliminated the random Christmas bonuses. They knew exactly what they were getting if they stayed to the end of the year, and that was mm-hmm. in their contract to do that. So that was a great way to have employees stay and not leave in the middle of the season when, you know, someone might be offering $2 an hour extra in August when we were super busy, but yet we know that they might not be guaranteed work all through the year like we
sure.
can.
Yeah. Very good. All right. What else? What are some other aspects?
We talked about sales and marketing and how to boost your sales and marketing and branding, I guess. We talked about branding and getting a good logo out there that is professional, either hiring a professional logo, you know, making like an advertising agency to do that. But to have something professional that you are proud of having on all your equipment. And I know at Black Diamond, we basically had every single truck look the same. So it looked like we had a lot of more equipment than we did. If we would try to buy white trucks, and if we didn't, we'd paint them white. And then we had our really crisp, clean logo on every single piece of equipment. And most people thought, number one, we had all new equipment, which we didn't have any new equipment, but it all looked new. And number two, they thought, wow, they have a lot of equipment. We see you all the time. Well, in reality, they're probably seeing the same pickup or the same 10-wheeler a couple times in a week. But since they all look the same, they can't differentiate. So it makes us look like we're bigger than we are and that we're really out there saturating the market. So that's kind of our branding, you know, our logo and our identity. The other thing was knowing your elevator pitch. So in a sentence or two, can you tell me what you do really well, and how would you sell that and explain it? And for us, it's providing comprehensive pavement solutions for the commercial customer. And that kind of sums up what we do. But if everyone has their own niche and their own, and if you know your niche and if you could say it concisely in a few words or less, you know, mm-hmm. and really get your point across quickly to your customers.
So for a sweeping contractor, that might be something like we keep properties, pavement and properties clean so that you can attract more customers and keep them safe while they're on your property.
Exactly, yeah.
We don't say, you would not probably want to say, well, we sweep parking lots, because there's no pizzazz or in that kind of an elevator pitch. You might also bring in these days environmentalism, you know, where we're keeping the runoff stream clean and key at the same time enhancing the appearance of our customers' properties, enabling them to get and keep more customers. And for sweeping, of course, one of the things that happens is you keep their costs down as well, because if you're taking the grit off the parking lots, then it's not being tracked in to the floors of the malls where you have to redo the floors more often. So if you think about the kind of niche and how you're specializing in your sweeping company, and maybe you're a full-service maintenance company, but you do want to have that down to 2-3 sentences at most, make sure that you know it and that all your managers and employees can do the same thing. On that topic, do you put your website on your trucks? Do you recommend that people do that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we talked about websites.
Number.
Yeah, and you're getting a professional website designer to design a professional website, since you know, all industries are going more internet-based. And if you could provide more solutions on your website for your customers, And I definitely pass out your website address. I mean, it's so easy for someone to see a website and remember it, and especially if it's catchy, you know, mm-hmm. if you can remember it and go back to your office and punch it in and learn all about your company.
And sure. Somebody always answers the phone, so to speak, at a website anytime, day or night.
Yeah, it's a free form of marketing. So, mm-hmm.
All right. What other topics would you like to talk about?
We talked about, liability in terms of insurance policies, making sure that you have an umbrella policy, which these days doesn't cost much to add an umbrella policy, $1 million or $2 million or $3 million umbrella policy above your policy that's just extra insurance. Mm-hmm. You're talking, thousands of dollars a year to add, say, a $1 or $2 million policy to an existing policy to give yourself more coverage for liability. And
I think a lot of times contractors don't realize how easy it is to get thrown out of business these days for any kind of a claim, that $1 million isn't all that much. A lot of people in our industry have gone to $5 million, and a lot of property managers are now requiring a $5 million umbrella. So that's an excellent point, that if you have $1 million coverage and it costs you X thousands of dollars a year, the second million is not going to be nearly as expensive, and the third is going to be even less over top of that, because the only way they get to that second million is if they exhaust the first one.
Exactly. So. Yeah, and in terms of liability, we talked a lot about OSHA requirements and all the compliances that you need for all agencies. That it seems that we get bogged down with the day-to-day and we don't have time to do all these compliance issues, and it's kind of a monkey on our back. And I ended up hiring some people, some experts in the different fields. For instance, OSHA, I hired an OSHA expert, and they came in and in a day and a half had me just all compliant and had my, all my records pretty much fine-tuned and up to date. And I really recommend that, because we just always can't be experts at everything.
And what kind of cost was that for you that day and a half?
They only charged me $70 an hour, mm-hmm. but they're an expert. That's what they do every day. So right. For me to, and one of the people in the class had gone to the OSHA classes and had learned all about how to do it, but he's into it 3 to 4 weeks of his time. Mm-hmm. And how many of us have that much time to do that? But we think we're compliant and we really want to be compliant, but really, do we really know? How can we be an expert? So I definitely recommend, if you can, hiring an expert, as I did. And the OSHA website has all sorts of resources that you can do that with.
One of the factors there, you may think that you're fine to be pretty much in compliant with OSHA. What happens, though, is if you have an accident, everything changes so quickly. You have a disgruntled employee. What they do is they go out the door is to make a stop by OSHA and complain about what they know is not OSHA compliant. And at that point, it's a fine that would have many times more paid for the consultant that you're talking about. Another area that I would touch on that brings up as well is time allocation. If there's one thing that everybody would agree today as a business owner, we don't have enough time. And what you're really talking about here is whether you'd like to pay yourself $8 an hour to try to come up with OSHA compliance and maybe not do it, versus taking what you may initially say, well, they get $70 an hour, I don't make that much. But you would if you hire the correct strategic consultants, so that you can get on with the business of marketing your firm and truly understanding your costs and those sorts of things that you have a competitive advantage of. The rule of thumb is hire someone that has a competitive advantage, even though they may be at a higher rate, and do the things that you have a competitive advantage with on your own.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't, I know I can't be an expert at everything, and I don't want to be. I'd rather hire an expert. And then, I'm very good at sales and marketing, and that's something that I'm not as comfortable hiring on. So I'd rather put my time into sales marketing and any of the OSHA requirements or any other of the, the regulatory agencies I need to please. It's much easier for me to have a consultant do that, or mm-hmm. have someone do that, and then they do it right.
Right. And you could be confident that they do it right. And if OSHA comes in and says, well, what about this and what about this, you have shown good faith by hiring a bona fide consultant to tell you what they told you. So you have, in that sense, a little insurance going as well. Okay, any other topics? Those are. It's all great information and a wonderful information overview for any sweeping contractor.
Yeah, I think we also talked about customers and how to get new customers and how to retain your own and levels of customer service. So,
what are the areas that you like to use to get new customers? What's the best?
You know, for us, it's a little painful, but it's just the phone calls, the you know, calls to people you don't know, calls to people you think that are leads, and you know, if 1 out of 10 phone calls turns into a lead, it's worth my time. So really, that's been the best way for us. We also keep a database of all our customers, and then we remind them that we're out there. So we send them little postcards, nuggets of information, maybe a nugget about crack filling or a nugget about curb painting or anything that's mm-hmm. that appeals to them. And we might send them that a couple times a year or once a quarter. And it keeps us at their fingertips and fresh. And it's a nugget of information that they might even post to their desk because they need to refer to it later.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. There's one that I like to always bring in a situation like this, which is a request for referrals. And sometimes you can offer people things for referrals, but remember that you're sending out an invoice. Most of you are sending out an invoice once a month, and it's going to cost you the same if you add another piece of paper to that invoice. So that's a place that you can send out items, especially if you're not set up for email, which is a wonderfully inexpensive way to do that sort of marketing these days. But in your invoices, you can put out a request that says, you know, as you know, we do a great job for you, and if there are other people you know in your kind of business that you can refer us to, you either can offer them something for referring, or just to say, we certainly appreciate any kind of referrals you can provide. So referrals are always great as well.
Absolutely.
And what else should, is there other items out there? It was sounds like a marvelous seminar that I wasn't able to get to, so I'm sure glad we're doing this.
Yeah, it was kind of a conglomeration of all sorts of different topics, and we concentrated on what the class was most interested in. Some of the all the topics we mentioned. It was a good jumble of great information, I think,
mm-hmm.
from everyone.
Well, that's the way this audio interview has been as well. So to recap, this is Joanne Devlin, who is on the advisory board of the National Pavement Exposition. She is a principal in Black Diamond Paving. You can reach her via email sent to Joanne, which is Joanne, at blackdiamondpaving.com. And this is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor of worldsweeper.com, and we're at the National Pavement Expo in Nashville in 2007.